All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Bird Park Community Church. How's everyone doing this beautiful morning? Doing all right? Everyone good? Thank you for being here. It is great to see you. And not too hot, not too cold, right? It is a perfect Catalina day. I'll be honest, a little warm for my blood here in January 15th, right? Like most people, 30 degrees right now, little snow on the ground, but we got it good out here. We got it good. It's great to see you guys, and thank you for being here. Man, we got a great day for you today. A couple announcements, actually just one. Today, after the service, PTL meeting. If you know what that means, then you should be there, okay? PTL meeting right after the service will be right here, okay? Hope to see you there. Also, we've got a congregational meeting in 2 weeks, January 31st, an important time after the service again to discuss a lot of just operational matters, administrative stuff. Not boring, but important. And hope to see you there as well in 2 weeks' time right here after the service too. Man, I don't know about you guys. This week, I really had a kind of a focus of releasing control of a couple things. I don't know if you guys in this season have had that word come up, right? Control, I say that, and that just elicits maybe a certain response in you and like where that's kind of manifested itself in your life. But this week particularly, there was just a cloud over me. I had to release some stuff to my wife and our family. And gosh, I had to battle a lot in that. You know, it's the first battle was like, man, am I just like giving up? Like, am I just like, you know, being a coward or whatever, or not stepping up or not doing what I need to do? And it's like, that was the enemy trying to battle that right there. And I was like, no, I got to release this to God. I pray that over you guys today. We're going to be singing about this. Here I am, all my intentions, all my obsessions, I want to lay them all down in your hands. Only your love is vital. Amen. We're going through this series called The Chosen. Has anybody seen The Chosen? This is a wild series. I never really heard of it until recently, and going through it, and it is good. And it is amazing to see these disciples. They are chosen, right? They are brought in to Christ's inner circle. There's disciples, there's closest allies. And even soon after their decision to join and to be in that, they still want to control things, right? Like God will pick somebody new, like to be a part of the group, and he'll be like, you, come with me. And they're like, oh, wait, hold up, God. Hey, no. I know you think what you're doing. All right, but no, let me, like, this guy's no good. Come on. He's like, you picked me, which is cool. I appreciate that. But this guy, no. Come on. Right? You guys see this? So that control's still there, even after we've been chosen, right? And so today, I pray over that to guys, over you guys. As the band comes up, I pray over you today, just release the control that maybe be manifesting itself in your life, wherever that could look. All right, give it to God. It's not weakness. You're not losing the battle. You're actually fighting the battle just where you should be. Okay? Amen? All right, let's worship.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. Well, again, we are so glad you guys are joining us. And again, the words and lyrics are available there on those tables. You just scan the code. QR code there. It'll take you to the lyrics. But let's turn our praise, our attention to the Lord this morning. What a beautiful day, huh?
Amen, yes.
There's revival, and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting. Song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. Oh, cause there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing cause I've been restored. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
In the valleys
that I wander, turn to mountains that I can climb. joy. No, there ain't nothing gonna steal my joy.
Put your hands together.
Jesus.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, band. Good morning, Avalon. We can do a little better. Good morning. Okay, yeah, there we go. And welcome to everybody listening online, YouTube, Facebook, whatever tube, wherever you are in the world. Greetings from a very perfectly climate weather situation. We are not battling elements today, but we are blessed. Amen. We are. We love where we get to do church. Bird Park Church is what we're calling it. It's a unity of the body. It's just a group coming together, seeking the power of God, looking for what he can do through the hearts of his people. Earlier this week, the privilege of being out on the ocean. And it's been a while. We've had a lot of fog and a lot of crazy schedules, but I made time. I went out in the ocean this week. And very interestingly enough, I found myself, there's a lot of squid boats out there. There's a lot of activity with the birds. You guys have seen the seals going crazy. It's that time of year, right? Well, this isn't one of those stories. But that's spectacular in and of itself. I'm paddling home and headed towards the casino, almost to Descanso, coming through Hamilton. I noticed in front of me an osprey out of nowhere, my right side, about 30 yards away, about as far as me to Val right there, came down and with one talon, one of his two, reached down and grabbed a fish. And I just parked this board. I just put it in park. I was like, this is good. And he circled and he went around my head and he came around this side and he came back again and with his other talon grabbed a second fish and flew away with two. I got to see that. Now you can watch your football games today, but I was on the 50-yard line seat of the power of God. Just the beauty. It's here, guys. It's here. It's actually just a few feet away, or it may be sitting right next to you through a human being. The power of God. It's here. It's so evident. His creation breathes his majesty, right? Have hope in that, my friends. Do not forget about the dailies, the things that happen in the course of your life, dictating the course of your life on the daily basis. What are those things? What do you see God doing? Where do you see him? Where could he be? I happened to find him on the ocean this week, but he was actually all over the place. We're looking at a lot of scriptures this morning, beautiful scriptures. I have a funny feeling there's a theme here, and I cannot wait to hear what Pastor Ron has to share this morning. Look at Matthew 9:22 if you have something online. I'm going to fly through some scriptures real quick here. Matthew 9:22 and then Matthew 14:27 says, Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed in that moment. There's a story there. Matthew 14, just a few chapters down. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And then the next gospel in Mark chapter 6, verse 50. The Bible says, because they all saw him, they were terrified, and immediately he spoke to them and said, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Mark again, chapter 10, verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're not going to get it. You're going to have trouble. But take heart. Take heart, Avalon. Take heart, online audience. Take heart for those of you who are tuned in this morning, dialed in. I have overcome the world. Let's open in prayer, and I welcome you to our beautiful service this morning. If you would, just pray with me. A beautiful song. Torrin Wells just put this out recently. There is no fear, because I believe. There is no doubt, because I have seen.
your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way through the waters. Make way through the pandemic. Walk us through the fire. Do what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions. Bring dry bones to life and do what you're famous for. What you are famous for. I believe in you, God. We believe in you. Amen. Release your love inside of us. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us over and over, O Lord. God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful. Your words unstoppable. All things are possible in you. It's a great song, and we sing that this morning. We sing that through our words, our worship, our giving, our attendance, certainly all that we have within us this morning. The power of you is available. Your presence is here. Do we want it? Do we want to receive it? Do we want to be present in that? My friends, I pray that we do. May your scripture come alive this morning through our various speakers and musicians and all of us that are serving. We lay it before you, actually put it on the altar before you. May it be a sweet fragrance to our Savior. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be still. Giants fall. I won't be afraid, for you are here. You silence all my fear. I won't be afraid, you don't let go. Be still, my heart.
sing out higher than the mountains.
Higher than the mountains that I face. Stronger than the power of the grave. Constant in the trial and the chains. One thing remains. One thing remains. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. And on and on and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be
never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Yeah, one more time. Your love never fails.
Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Your love.
Dog got people said, amen. Give them a hand. They richly deserve it for giving God such glory and such praise. Thank you, John. Thank you, group. And thank you all out there who have come to visit, whether you're online, whether you're in cart, or whether you're sitting down here with us. Thank you, John. It is great to be out in God's creation. Feel him breathing. By the way, just out of warning, he's going to blow pretty hard coming up on Monday night and Tuesday. So if you're going to be any place like Overtown, don't try to come back. And Glenn, you might want to think about staying ashore Monday night and Tuesday night, because we do have some northeast winds coming in. Just to batten down your hatches. What an amazing day. Welcome to winter on Catalina Island. Unbelievable. God is good. Thank you, Andrew, for the great opening and the great prayer. The scriptures, yeah. Seems to kind of follow a pattern of such, huh? How many of you have ever seen The Wizard of Oz. I know it's a rhetorical question. How silly of me. Is there anybody here who hasn't? Mahala, have you seen The Wizard of Oz? Michaela, have you seen The Wizard of Oz? Madden, you haven't seen it either? Whoa. Maddox, have you seen it? Okay, well, you'll have movie session with Pastor Ron. It'll be fun. How about Princess Bride, my favorite of all time? They have seen that? Oh, I know why they haven't seen them. Certain flying animals, I imagine, huh? Yeah, I can understand that. How many of you know the flying animals I'm talking about? Yeah, the first things to ever scare me to death. Almost. My favorite character in The Wizard of Oz. Yes, Dorothy's wonderful. Toto's kind of great, huh? If you're a dog person, your Toto's yours. Yeah, if you're somebody who's really into power, I guess, you know, the wizard himself. Although it turns out that he's actually kind of a good guy, huh? Because he isn't all that into power. I like... not the Tin Man. Not the Scarecrow. That leaves who? The Cowardly Lion. I like the Cowardly Lion. Now, I don't know what that psychologically says about me, but I like the Cowardly Lion. Remember back in the movie, okay? They're on the what road? Come on. The what road? The yellow brick road. They're following the yellow brick road. The yellow brick road. Who was it that told them to go on the yellow brick road? The Munchkins. First Glenda, but then the Munchkins came up to reinforce it in their own little way, right? No pun intended there. I wasn't demeaning. And then they go along the yellow brick road, and one by one, she discovers the Scarecrow, who tells her which way to go, or not. Then she discovers the rusty old Tin Man and helps him out. And they're dancing, keeping the Scarecrow up, as they're dancing the yellow brick road, and all of a sudden Toto goes running after somebody and starts barking at him, and he doesn't like it and kind of slaps Toto, or runs after him and growls. And what does she do to the Cowardly Lion? What does Dorothy do to the Cowardly Lion? Slaps him. And what does he do? Eat her up? Cries. What is he holding in his hand while he's crying? His tail, which kind of scares him as it comes up and hits him, remember, in the head? And he's actually holding his tail and he's wiping his tears with the with his tail. It's great stuff. And then Dorothy says to the Cowardly Lion, "Your Majesty, if you were king of the forest, you wouldn't be afraid of anything?" And he says, "Not nobody, not no how." And the Tin Man then asks him, "Not even a rhinoceros? That's impossible." Dorothy again, "How about a hippopotamus? Why, I'd trash him from top to bottomus." The Scarecrow. "Supposing you met an elephant, I'd wrap him in cellophane." The Scarecrow again, "What if it were a brontosaurus? I'd show him who is king of the forest." And they all then combine and say, "How?" And that's a big point. "How?" And the lion kind of says, scared because they all said it together, "How?" And then he thinks for a minute and all four again say, "How?" Even louder, scaring him more. And then he comes up with the word. What's the word? What's the word? Somebody back here hit it right. It's not courage. It's courage. You got to say it the right way. Like a cat would, you know. At the beginning, courage. Everybody try that. Courage. I mean, say it. You got to really feel it. He was. For the first time in his life, he was feeling that courage. Say it again. Say it with me. Courage. Then he goes on. Courage. What makes the king out of a slave? Courage. What makes the flag and the mast to wave? Courage. What makes the elephant charge his tusk in the misty mist and the dusky dusk? What makes a muskrat guard his musk? Courage. What makes the Sphinx the seven wonder? courage. What makes the dawn come up like thunder? Courage. What makes the Tottenhot so hot? Who puts the ape in apricot? What do they got that I ain't got? Courage.
You can say that again, he says.
Because he still is scared. He still doesn't have the courage needed to be who he claims to be. The king of the forest. Biblically speaking, the New Testament word for courage is tharse. Say that. No, I mean say it. Tharse. Yeah, that's good. Tharse. And it means to be firm, to be resolved in the face of danger or adverse situations, to be courageous, to be in-hearted, strong-hearted. Biblically, the heart is considered the seat of life. Strength of life comes in the heart. It's the organ that's said to have the ability to reason, to question, to meditate, to motivate. All of these kind of seemingly mental processes are normally associated in today's world with the mind or the brain, not the heart, except maybe metaphorically. Our Lord God is described as being able to know the heart, to search the heart, to enlighten, to recreate, to examine, to strengthen and establish our hearts. Not the minds, it's the hearts. We can have a clean, contrite, perfect, pure, or wise heart, but those qualities are not biblically attributed to the mind, but they are to the heart. The heart is a very important thing that we need to keep an eye on, that we need to support, that we need to keep strong, strengthened. And perhaps that's why, beloved, having certain biblical translations, as you heard Andrew read this morning, especially the ESV and the NIV, they interpret tharse as take heart. Take heart. Strengthen your heart. Or just flat out courage. Imagine hearing those two words, take heart, as the disciples did often from who? Jesus, from the mouth of God himself, God in the flesh, telling them, take heart. You kind of think, okay, well, it's easy for you to say, but what about us? Because we know how weak those words can seem when we say them to our own hearts. You know, if only we could boost, if only we could redirect our hearts the way that Jesus seemed to be able to. No one here wants to be downhearted. We don't want to be depressed. And far too often our hearts seem to lie beyond our ability to control, lie beyond our ability to reach, the outside of our ability to reach. And yet, however discouraged we may feel, our weary hearts never lie beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's important for us to realize, although we can't reach our hearts inside of us, they are never beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. No matter how troubled, no matter how unsettled, no matter how fickle, how disoriented, how despondent we are, Jesus Christ can handle any and all of our ailing hearts. As Charles Spurgeon said, there are many sorts of broken hearts, and Christ is good at healing each and every one of them. Jesus knows the human heart. Of course he does. He's the one who created, he made the heart, and he even took one inside himself when he became a man. He knows, as both God and man, how to give courage to a fearful heart. He has done it personally to himself. He has done it personally to me, to you. He knows how to give joy to sad hearts. He is able, he is proven at giving strength, at giving proportion, perfect proportion, to a weak heart. He's great at giving peace to a heart full of unrest, forgiveness to a heart full of guilt, wholeness to a heart that's been broken. And it's because he's God. He's not some man behind a curtain. He is God. Almighty. And how does he choose over and over again to do that to our hearts, to support our hearts? Well, it's to touch us either physically, touch us spiritually, or touch us through his words, in speaking to us, and in reading his word. Oh, we say reading his word and having God touch us. I don't find that hard to believe, and I pray you don't either. I pray you have felt him touch you as you read his word, as you sit quietly with him. What would we have to do when our hearts are failing? Go back to the word then. Rehear his words over and over again, because he knows our hearts. He created us. He knows how often those hearts can break, how tender they are. He made our human hearts and souls to respond to the touch of his words with the aid of his Holy Spirit. And when our strength is low, when our faith is failing, he means to revive us through the grace of those words, whether spoken, whether written, whether heard silently. We're prone in our pain to underrate the power of his words, to set his words aside, to look to other comforts like entertainment, food, drink, drugs, work, other human relationships. But when Jesus speaks to us, one of the most common and distinctive words that we hear is, take heart. And yes, in the Greek, darse is one word. It's inflected. Courage. He doesn't say follow your hearts. No, he knows better to do that. But take heart. Take them from the pit, from the subtle, seemingly inescapable delusion that they're under, and remind them of who he is, who Jesus is, what he has done for that heart, what he will continue to do for that heart. He rolls back the stone and he speaks life into the empty, dead tombs of our souls. He creates what he commands. He creates what he commands. And he commands for us to take heart. And each time it's an imperative. It is a command. And he gives us the power to be able to do so. In particular, the Gospels give us five concrete instances. You heard them read earlier, but we'll look at them more specifically now. Where Jesus says, darse. It is the word. The same word that he uses over and over again. And each one comes with a precious and powerful and timeless lesson and how the words of Jesus work to bolster, to empower, to heal, to rebuild, to strengthen our souls. And the first one, it's in Matthew 14 and Mark 6. Matthew 14 and Mark 6. It reports one of the most stunning events in the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's a particular and a peculiar miracle that's reserved just for his disciples. It's reserved just for his disciples. No, it's not a healing with a comforting word, but simply a striking revelation of who Jesus is. And it's specifically, again, for them, for his disciples. So after a busy day of ministry, Jesus sends his now very weary warriors ahead of him to the other side of the sea in a boat while he stays along this side and prays, restores himself in prayer. On the water, as they launch off, the disciples are then met with a very fierce wind and were unable to make any headway. And then in the middle of the night, Jesus does what? He comes to them. Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 says, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, what? It's a ghost. It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. Their hearts are deeply shaken. They're terrified. Crying out in fear. So Jesus says a word to them. Darse. Courage. Take heart. And then he continues, it is I. Don't be afraid. And literally his words are courage, darse, and then Yahweh. Courage, I am.
It is I. It is I, Jesus, whom you know. And I am the great I am. And as when Moses asked for God's name and he said, I am who I am, now Jesus declares to his disciples, I am that same I am. And we know that he is. We know that he is indeed God. And so when Jesus tells us to take heart, we need to remind ourselves, we need to know he does it as God himself. It's not like your mother telling you courage, or your father or your coach or your best buddy telling you courage. This is God himself saying, take courage. And if he commands you to do so, what's he going to supply for you? The ability to do so, right? The power to do so. He says, I am God. There is no other. I am your creator. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am God himself, made human, also dwelling within you, and I am for you. So don't be afraid. You're under my watch. You're under my care. And no storm, however great, can match my power, can match my protection. So courage. Take heart. For I am. And all God's people said, amen. He's not only God in full humanity, but if we claim Jesus as Lord, we can know that he then knows us. Because he draws close, we draw close. He befriends us. And we know also that he's calling to us. Mark chapter 10. We have a blind beggar who was sitting by the roadside, hoping Jesus would pass by. When he hears that Jesus has finally come near, he begins to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew who Jesus was in his heart. He knew who Jesus was. But the crowd was not pleased. The crowd actually became annoyed with his pestering Jesus. Many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, it says in Mark chapter 10, verse 48. But not Jesus. Jesus didn't do that. He wasn't annoyed. He actually took notice. And instead of pushing the crowd away, he drew the crowd even closer. He drew them in, and he directed them to extend his invitation to that man. Call him. Bring him here. And so they turned to the blind man, and they were the ones that actually said, Thersay, take courage. Why? Because he is calling you. He is inviting you. He wants to heal you. And we could take a great example of how we can help others with courage. Because he has helped us. Because we know that he wants to help them. It's a great verse for evangelism. We know that he can and that he is calling to help others. And in our heart of hearts, knowing who he is, that makes all the sense in the world. And we need to continue not to be annoyed when they call out for help, but to direct them, invite them as he has invited them. And with his words, tell them to have courage and bring them to him. Amen? He sees. He hears us. He's not inattentive to our pleas. He, through even his eyes, they are fixed on us. In the midst of a crowded world, we have his attention. He continues to invite us, to draw close and closer. He's calling us to heal, to bless, to extend his grace, to extend his compassion, his mercy to others. As we realize who he is, let's introduce him then to others so they can take courage, so they can have heart, so they can know that he is calling them and that he is calling them to heal them of their heart problems. In Matthew chapter 9, there are two incidences in which Jesus says, Thersay. First is to a paralyzed man that he affectionately calls my son, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And then it's to an elderly woman that he affectionately calls my daughter, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 22. The paralytic man in 9:2 couldn't get himself to Jesus, and so his friends bring him, remember? What did they do? They lowered him down through the roof. in front of Jesus. And when Jesus sees their faith, and that includes the man's faith, he says to the man, the paralyzed man, "Take heart, my son, tharse, my son, because your sins are forgiven. Take courage. Be of good courage, because your sins are forgiven." That is an amazing gift. And if that doesn't strengthen our hearts, if that doesn't give us courage, what else will? Amazing gift of forgiveness by God Himself. That's unimaginable. It was unimaginable for the Pharisees. They couldn't believe that He was saying those things because only God could. Well, we know, going back to the first point, He is God. They obviously didn't. We're prone to take forgiveness lightly, yes, as if God owes it to us, as if His pardon were somehow our right. Think about it. How much disappointment in our lives would be dispelled if we took the spectacular grace of His forgiveness more seriously? Deep down in our souls, how much of a strengthening of heart would that be? Because we're all sinners. No kind of privilege that's so popular today, or unpopular. No kind of privilege. Not even the Jews were protected against sin, were they? Needed God's forgiveness, because we're all sinners, by birth as well as by choice, unfortunately. And in our sin, the omnipotent wrath of God stands justly against us. It's an indescribably bad, terrible doom. You can read about it fully in the Bible. And yet God, in sheer magnificent mercy, did not spare His own Son, but gave up His Son for us, that we might be forgiven, forgiven of our infinitely heinous capital offenses against the most valuable person in the universe, and that is God. And yeah, I want it to sound bad, because we need to understand it is bad. And that is why Jesus Christ had to die. But hearing the words, "Your sins are forgiven," is only trite to those who underestimate their own sin and tragically misunderstand the glory, the magnificent glory that's behind forgiveness. And the more that we know ourselves as forgiven, which means the more we truly know how heinous our sins are, and the more forgiven, more forgiveness means to us, the more difficult it will be for discontent to grow deep in our souls. The more difficult it would be to wander away from God instead of stay close to Him. And so, tharse, take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. And then later in Matthew 9, a local ruler rushes Jesus off. He's literally there curing people. And a ruler comes and said, "Quick, you must come to my house. My 12-year-old daughter has just died. And only you can raise her from the dead." And so Jesus goes with him, and he makes time for him. In that frantic chaos, he makes time for him. And while they're all moving that way towards his house, a woman who suffered for 12 years with a discharge of blood touches him. And he says to her, "Tharse, courage, take heart, my daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly, as Matthew reported, he loves that word, instantly, the woman was made well. Instantly, she was cured. Faith, of all things. Faith is what, he said, cured her. Wasn't her goodness, wasn't her good works, it wasn't her virtue, it wasn't her benevolence, it was faith. Faith is the reason to take heart. It wasn't because Jesus was looking for her to cure her for her pain. It was because of her faith that made her well. That Jesus then answers and says, "Take courage because of that faith. Understand what that faith has done for you, what that faith can do for you, allows me to do for you. Jesus isn't bidding us to look inward and have courage. Rather, he tells us to look outward, outside of ourselves, to see him as the basis of courage, as the reason for faith, because that's the nature of faith. Jesus' calls to faith is not a summons to muster up our own strength. Grab your bootstraps and pull. No, it's to lean on him. It's to lean on his faith. The call to faith is not a challenge to dig down deep inside. It's an invitation to rest in the depth of power outside of ourselves, to rest in him. Courage, take heart, my daughter. Your faith has in me, as the great I am, has made you well. Interesting. And finally, in John chapter 16, verse 33, maybe the best known and most sweeping of Jesus's take heart or courage commands. In the upper room, the night before he died, at the end of his goodbye speech to his disciples, Jesus says to them, "I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace, because in the world you're not." In the world you will have tribulation, but, darse, courage, because I have overcome the world. Courage, not because you are my disciple, no, it's because I have overcome the world. And what I have taught you to believe in me will be why you need to be, will help you with your courage, will overcome the world, give you the strength to overcome the world, as I have. As we've come of age and as we've realized late in our lives, maybe too late, the extent and depth of the fallenness of our world, you know, many of us are caught off guard by the amount of strength of evil in this earth. And if we're not, we should realize the amount of strength that evil has. Tribulation is not the misfortune of some. Tribulation is the promise to all. It's just a matter of time. In this world, he says, you what? Will have tribulation. At least occasionally, if not constantly. Jesus does not want his people to be surprised by the heartbreaking pain of this present age. And it is heartbreaking, and it has taken many by surprise, just how heartbreaking it is. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. But then there's a but. A but. And I love it. Because those buts from God always set up the good news that follows the great contrast. The buts that God speak. You were dead, but... You were separated from me, but, and here you will have tribulation, but, take heart. Be of good courage. I have to ask the downcast soul, do you hear that? Do you hear God saying, take courage? Do you hear God saying, but? Oh, I feel real bad. Yeah, but, take courage. I want to warn the weary heart. Pay close attention to the promises that follow those buts. Because when heard, when understood, what follows will give us courage. It will be a truth to live by again and again and again. It will be a reality to regularly remind ourselves of, especially when our hearts are weak, especially when our faith is failing. Let's take this truth to mind. Day after day, let's take it afresh into our souls when we hear Jesus say, courage, for I have overcome the world. Beloved, in Romans chapter 13, verses 12 and 14, Paul sets our current context in place. He says, the night is far gone. The day of the Lord is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the I Am. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him and him alone. And setting this context is important because of the truth that Jesus has overcome the world. Paul understood that. And I pray that his triumph will eventually be worked into every nook and cranny in each of the lives that are represented here, that are listening online, each of the lives of anybody who needs it here in this world, in this heartbreaking world. Because in him, not only is the clock ticking on our tribulation, but also right now, in the midst of it, he's pounding it out for our everlasting good. And he always will be. The one who has overcome is at work in our affliction, preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as Paul says to the Corinthians. So, courage. Take heart, because our God is God. And he does know us, and he calls us, and invites us to forgiveness. He invites us to faith, have our faith grow in him, for he has overcome the world, and he has done so for us. He has done so on our behalf. How can we not take courage? Amen? Thank you.
Man, thank you for the word. You know, it's during these times that we need to be reminded of the very words that he shared, the promises that we stand on. Because even though this world is being shaken, our faith remains. And I love the word courage. There's a Greek word that is a part of that. The word that you said is called entherino. It comes from that word, and it means to give courage. And the other word is apotherinon, which means to take courage. And little do we realize that our words have that kind of capacity to give courage or take away. And I believe it's important that we recognize that the promises that God has given us through the scriptures that Pastor Ron shared, those are words that give us courage. But at the same time, we as his people have an opportunity to speak to those around us. Because a lot of people are wondering, what in the world is going on? And so I have a scripture that came to mind as you were sharing, Ron. It's in Thessalonians 5, 9 to 11. It's totally tied to what you're saying. It says, God didn't set us up for an angry rejection, but for salvation by our Master, Jesus Christ. He died for us, a death that triggered life. Whether we're awake with the living or asleep with the dead, we're alive with him. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope. So you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. Keep looking for opportunities to encourage one another, to give courage, to point them to the Lord who gives us that courage. Keep pointing them. Be careful with your words. Do not take away courage, but give as you have been given by God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the encouragement that is found through your scriptures, Lord God, that the example that you showed us as you walked among your disciples, as you walked among the people that were shaken by sickness, shaken by fear, shaken by whatever it was that was afflicting them, that you, Father, sent your Son to speak a word to all of us and to live that word out in this life, on this planet, so that we could see the example to stand up and to receive the courage that you give us and to give us the courage to continue to move forward. I ask, God, that you would give us divine appointments, opportunities to share with others, Lord God, to be able to give courage to them as we point them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Enrique. Before I close with this last song here, just a reminder for our key leaders on our purpose teams, we're going to be meeting about 15 minutes after we get done here with worship and just the quick breakdown. We're going to probably meet in the shady area over there. So my breakdown crew, by the way, don't put the chairs in the shed. We're going to leave those and we're going to move them over towards the tree area over there so that we can have a meeting together again after we get some of the key stuff put away. So let's stand. Let's close the song together as we prepare to go out.
Control. And you are heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
And all God's people sin.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you guys.